2 days ago about a fly in your room. Someone's got a fly in his room, and it's disturbing. So the mice, what happens is, he's got an ensuite bathroom, he says. It's very convenient. So he wants to open up his ensuite bathroom and let the fly go into the room. That, the mice, we said, is mutter. The reason being why it's mutter is because we said in Seder, either the Issam and Atoira of Seder is to trap an animal into such a confined area that you can get it in one swoop. When a bee is in a room, that's not called trap properly. So that's Minatoria is no problem. There's an Issa Midrabonon, he said, to take any animal and confine it from its complete freedom to an area where it feels confined. So the marshal, let's say you've got a bee flying outside in the courtyard, the doors are open here, and the bee comes in to this room over here. The chayra, even if you close the door here, that's not called confined at all. The bee doesn't feel confined. It's got such a big area over here, that's not called confined. If you take the washer, a cat, for example, that's running around in the courtyard, not a domestic cat, but a stray cat, and it comes in and it goes into this room over here, and then you shut the door, that has confined it. As far as the cat is concerned, that has confined to a certain degree the cat's enclosure. So that's Osman Rabon. A fly, we said, that's not confined at all, even in this area. It's a very small area. So since a fly is so small, in order to be considered confined, it has to be a very, very small area.
A bird in this room
is definitely confined because you're restricted.
It's jumping up to catch it, but still
jumping up. It's not confined. Beforehand, it was flying in the opening, running where it wanted. Now it comes to this room, you close the door, you've got a problem. Yeah. If you're doing it to trap, you don't want the animal to go out, let's say, for example. That's the problem.
And if you close the door because
you're cold. Oh, so I'm kind of hoping to speak about it. You've got another reason, right? Interesting point. It could be better. If a person closed the door, not because he wants to trap the animal, I'll tell you the truth, that topic about what mummy's trapping these animals, the bees in the sukkah, that should be next week's topic. Yeah, that's mummy's interesting point you're saying. That means there's two things you have to know about the marshal. One is you want to trap an animal, and one is the nuisance, you just don't want it with you. That's really much better. You're not interested in trapping, that's really much better. I have to speak about this now. Okay, what else was there? There was about flies. So we said the marshal, you can, open the door of the ensuite, let the fly go in there, that's no problem at all. Hu adin, there's no issa, someone found it a chizh, but the maestro is poshut, there's no opposite of tzeda. That means if you've got a fly in this room over here, and you open the window, the fly goes out, or let's say you've got a fly in a very small container, and you open it up so the fly flies out, there's no problem with that either. There's no opposite of tzot. There's no letting an animal go out to release it, there's no issa at all. That's mutter. So if you open the door, for example, so that the fly can fly out, there's no problem either. That's also allowed to be done. So you open a window that the fly can fly out, also no problem whatsoever. Okay, those are the issues we said. Then we spoke a little bit about the marshal putting, let's say, a saucer with some liquid in the saucer, let's say some sweet juice, so the fly gets attracted to it. So we said last time we spoke about it that if it's going to get trapped in there, the marshal, let's say it's a very deep cup, and the liquid is quite low down, so very likely the fly is going to get caught in there. You're doing it mice, then you're doing it like you'd say, really. It's very likely trying to catch it. That's more problematic. But we said, if you put it on the saucer, where it's very flat, so the fly could really sit on the saucer, one end of the saucer, just stick its little legs out and get a bit of the liquid, that's more time. Okay, let's come to pets. Now, I must tell you, not so long ago, it was my wife's department, not my department, but someone phoned up, they're going away to Chasnei Tisrol for a few weeks. Do we mind to look after, if it was a hamster, or a guinea pig? Not one of my favourites. The mice, so the question was now, okay, so my wife said yes, and I took children, the mice took it in. Interesting though, what happens is obviously you've got to feed these animals on Shabbos. The question is, does it involve any problems at all, feeding these animals on Shabbos? So that's posha halacha. Anything which is your animal, there's no issue to feed. There's an issa, I didn't write it down actually, but it's poshut, the mice, there's an issa midrabonon to feed animals that don't belong to your Shabbos. That means someone's got a cat that knocks on its door, it's outside in your garden, you feel very sorry for it, so you want to take a cup of milk or whatever and give it to the cat, that's not allowed to be done on Shabbos.
What's the issa?
It's a tirchi yisir, Chazal say. Yeah, interesting, Chazal call that a tirchi yisir, which you mustn't do. So during the week you can do it, I'm just telling you, not mitzvah locha, but if you start with a cat, with the milk, once, you get it quite often coming to you. I'm not saying you shouldn't do it. What?
You get the whole family going next
week. There could be, you get the whole family coming. So I'll say, that's an interesting point. But the mice, it's some Shabbos, There's a problem on Shabbos that a tirchi yaseir is not allowed. But any animal that you're responsible for, there's no issue whatsoever in feeding it. You're allowed to feed it. In fact, you've got mitzvah to feed the fetus. Okay, you must eat sometimes before you feed the animal. That's number one. Number two, which is a very interesting area here, which one needs to get a good heter with this. I don't know one, I must tell you. I'm telling you now, I don't know a heter. And that is cutting these animals. That's why we should go home. Is that Mishnah Berurah here at all? Chelik Gimel. That's an interesting thing here. Is an animal muksa on Shabbos? Is an animal muksa? In Svara, really, what would you say, Rabbi Yisrael? Is an animal muksa? What would you say in Svara?
Yeah.
Well, that's good. That's good Svara. One says yeah, one says no. Nice, you're both right. Right, let's talk with it. Let's start with the beginning. An animal, Chelik, why is an animal muksa? What's the reason why an animal should be muksa? Because an animal's got no use on Shabbos pashas. You can't ride it, you can't shecht it, you can't do anything with it. So pastures, an animal starts off being muksa. But you have to think of a pet that you've got. So you've designated it to play with the marshal. I mean, you want to use it, you want to have fun with it. The marshal certainly a dog or anything like that, a cat, people have enjoyment with it, yeah? So the chayra, is it worse than the stone that you decide to designate to use as a door stopper? Is a cat or dog or anything like that, a hamster or a guinea pig, is that worse than a stone?
Can't get the cat to stay still as well.
Yeah, but it's more svarad, I would have thought, to say that the cat and the dog is less muksa than a stone. If you do a yichud la'olam on a stone, you designate this stone to be used now as a doorstop, it becomes muta. The chayr, the svarad, it should be the same thing with what you call it?
With
what melacha? Maybe a cow or a dog or a sheep, maybe it's Muhammad, he might put something on it, he might carry something for you, but lost a dog or cat is not going to do anything for you, really.
Carrying this poppy thing around the neck, is that called weapon for you?
Weapon for you, it's weapon for itself. I must tell you, it's not possible why it should be also this, actually, yeah? The mice and the poskim don't like this. They don't like people touching pets on Shabbos. Let me just find out where I was. Let me just see if I can find it where it is. It's very interesting how locha this, actually. Mr. Brewer brings down. Muksa. So it's in Shin Ches, Siflamates, the Mishnah Berurah, Sivkot and Kuf Mem Vov. Shin Ches, Sivkot and Kuf Mem Vov. Mishnah Berurah says here, also the Talmud, you mustn't touch an animal, Dehaim Bechlal Muksa, Ke'etzim Vavonim Deholichotim. They are Muksa, like stones and wood, which are not fit. So on that, the kashrut is l'chayr, you can miyachad it. So on this, the chiddush, the marach oizeruah says, you're right, really in svarah should be mutter, there's a loy plug. Since, generally, animals are muksa, it doesn't help to designate an animal for use in Shabbos. And therefore, that's what many, many poskim take as a chiddush, the consensus of most poskim, it's hard to find any person who's mati, but kamat, across the board, all the poskim take on that animals are muksa on Shabbos. It's very hard for pet lovers, I must say, it's hard because the moshe wants to stroke it. Wherever it is, you want to stroke these animals. The chayra is a problem. Stroking is also touching it. You're moving the feathers and everything. You're moving the hairs. The chayra, that is a problem of moving muksa on Shabbos. Therefore, really, it's hard to find. If someone knows one, I'm happy to hear it. If someone knows such a heter, that to touch any of these animals, not least you've got your guinea pig, your mice, whatever you've got, your hamster, anything you've got, your dog, your cat, all these things, l'chayra, are a problem because there's an issue of muksa. Okay, that's problem number one. No, because they are not touching it. I'm not sure you make a gazelle. That's an interesting point we're saying. Is there a gazelle? I don't know if it's a gazelle, you might come and touch it, but it's an interesting point, though. Someone takes a dog on a lead, and he holds a dog indirectly. It's not holding the dog directly. That's really much better. You're not touching it. But the thing is, most of these people are holding the dog, taking the dog for a walk. I mean, they're quite attached to their dogs. So it's very light, it's very hard. I must say, I know someone's got a dog. It's difficult, the most. It's a very difficult thing. Cats also is a very problem. People who've got cats, it's very hard for them. It's very hard. Most of these people who've got dogs and cats obviously love these animals. And on Shabbos, they can't touch it. It's a difficult thing. I suppose you've got people who've got little hamsters, little things they want also to nicely like to play with them. It's the hobby, it's the problem
with
Muxter.
What should say, though? Because you don't say that.
Oh, so let's come now, let's talk about, so that's the problem with Muxter. So one problem is the side of Muxter. What about seed over here? So there's, sure enough, there's an interesting thing over here. Any Balchai which is not the devil to escape, that means it's domesticated. You've got it used to you, it comes to you, it's very friendly, it'll come wherever you come, and even if you go out, it'll come back to you. That's generally pets in your house which have been trained. There's no issa tzeid on them. That's important to remember, yeah? Mm-hmm. Not everything's like this. You can have a budgie in your house, but the thing is, if you open that cage, it's as soon as you've got a chance to fly out. So you have to know, not every, you have to know what animal you're talking about, the moshel, the mice, the ones called these hamsters, and these, what the other ones called, the guinea pigs, all these things. If you give it a chance to run out, it'll run. It's going to run for as much as it can.
You have to keep it in the house.
But there, it's not called nitzed. You can't call that trap, because that animal, when it gets a chance to run out, it'll run out. So when we talk about a domesticated animal, we could talk about your own sheep in your house, let's say, for example, if you've got sheep in your back garden, or you've got a cow in your back garden, and it's used to you, then the mice, it won't run away. That's true. And a dog and a cat, Prisdon, is also the same thing. Those that are used to you, they come to you easily, they like you, they're friendly with you, they want to come. That is Mustafa called nitzed already. But you can have a case that Shulchan Aruch speaks about, which I think applies, I'll tell you in a minute, but Shulchan Aruch's case is an animal which during the day it runs out, it's happy to go out, but at night time comes back home. I think cats are like this, I think. The masters are cats. Sorry? Yeah, they come back at night time always?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a very good example. That's not Shulchan Aruch's case. The case of Shulchan Aruch is that once you've got an animal which goes out during the day, so you give it a chance to run out or run out. Yeah. Sorry?
Cats or a dog? I mean, if you've got something that's got a dog in the house, dog will come in the evening.
Will a dog come out? I'm not sure it will.
Yeah?
Probably, okay. So, in those cases, yeah. A cow, dog. Huh? Chickens, I understand. The washer, a budgie, you let it out, it won't come out again. It's gone. But the mice, so a dog or cat, so the short one also speaks about a case of a dog or a cat where it goes out in the day, but at night time it comes back. That is an issur tzeidim rabon. That's called tzeidim rabon. To catch it during the daytime is an issur tzeidim rabon because to a certain degree it likes to go out. So, to catch that on Shabbos, it's tzeidim rabon. Oh, so we'll come to us, but I hope we get this. Yeah, very interesting. Now, let's go slowly. So again, domesticated animals, that means ones that are used to you, mum, it's a cat and dog that you've been used to. There's no problem at all. It's not called Satan. So there's no problem with that. An animal, the other extreme, a bird, a budgie, a hamster, these things, a guinea pig, which the mice, even though in your house, you give them a chance to run, they'll run. That's proper Satan. That's proper Seder, mum is proper Seder. And then you've got a middle stage, or someone's getting a new dog, he's got a new cat. Or even you say, often dogs and cats, during the day they'll run out, but the mice, they'll come back at night time. If you've got such a monster like that, that would be Seder with Rabon. Now, yes, yeah, so far so good? Well, let's talk about feeding, let's say, rabbits or hamsters or guinea pigs, these things over here, or a bird in a cage. Now you have to realize what happens. Let's take a bird in a cage. When you open that door of the bird cage, as soon as you open that door, and let's say you stand back, that bird can fly out. So, and it might fly in the room, the mice say it's complete and it's not trapped at all. So, by you opening the cage, you have now released your control of that bird when you stand back. Because now the bird can fly out, maybe it won't fly out straight away, but it can fly out straight away, so it's not called nits anymore. If you now put the food into the bird cage, close the bird cage as normal, you've done issur tzeidah. Because when that bird cage was open, the door was open on that bird could fly out. So it's not called nits. It's not called trap. When you now come along and close that cage door, you've now trapped it. You managed made it in a very secluded area. You can now catch it more or less in one swoop.
When you close the door on the dog at night, you've trapped it too. You can say the same thing.
Let's talk about a very confined area, first of all. A very confined area. Who had in these guinea pigs or whatever? These guinea pigs also, they've got quite a confined area, as far as I remember. The mice, the person made a cage for it, or whatever it was, but the mice are a very confined area. So when you open it, the cage, for example, to put your food in, you walk into it, as soon as that cage is open, the guinea pig, if you were to stand back, the guinea pig would run out. Mice, it's not called nitzed. When you close the gate, when you close the door, you're now sod it, is a problem. Yeah? So how do you get around this? Well, the mice are very posh, ace have to get around this. Ace number one is to open the door very slightly. Let's say you want to feed the bird. So you open the cage of the bird cage very, very slightly, which is only enough room for you to put your hand through, for example, and put the food down. But the bird is still trapped because the bird couldn't get through a little slot. So you never made it in a matzah of where it's not nitzed. You with me? Who are dealing with your hamster? All the same things. You do all these tricks there. You make it in a situation where it's so slightly opened that the animal there cannot run out where it is. If that's the case, it's never been unmitzed, untrapped, and therefore there's no problem closing the door. What are you talking like a big run? What are you talking like a rabbit? What are you talking about for what? It's wide enough for you to put your hand through, and it's wide enough for the guinea pig to run out. Okay, so what's Aether? Good Aether. So what do you have to do then? You have to get two people involved. What you do is you have to get someone else there to come along and block up that gangway that when you open the door. You open the door very slightly. Mm-hmm. That means it's not untrapped. Someone puts something there to block it coming out, so it's never been untrapped. And then you can put your water in. You can go in and take your water out, wherever it is. Many people have got, I mean, I don't know, I'm not much of a bocky in this, but some people have got, they bring down a poskim, like two doors. You know when you go up, the moshing to the lion, then, for example, there's like a double door. If you make a double door, that's also a way out of it. Once you've got a rabbit, and you want to go into the rabbit, into the actual hatch itself, and change everything in there. So what you do is you make a double door there. That means one door opens, but there's another door closed. So you go through the first door, then you close the door behind you, and you open the other door, you go right in, no problem, because the animal's never been undone. You understand? There's another eitzah to make it. You have to make it in a matzav of a way it's never left in a situation where it could run out. So you can do that any way you want. If you do that in any way that you want, then there's no problem of seder. Yeah? Another such eitzah is another eitzah you could do is get a non-Jew to feed it. That means to get a non-Jew to feed this animal is, since you could do it with derech hetzer, you could go in and keep it closed to such an area where it couldn't run out. If a non-Jew goes in himself, opens the door wide, and this makes sure the animal doesn't go out, that's no problem at all, because since you can do it with derech hetzer, that's no problem. So you can ask a non-Jew to feed your animals for you on Shabbos if you've got a problem, you're scared to go in or whatever, you get a non-Jew to feed it. What you asked before is that this thing is only where there's a seder min haTorah involved. This whole problem of opening the doors of these animals is only where seder min haTorah is involved. That means to watch for example, a bird cage, where it's a very narrow cage, and then you can trap the birds, yeah? That's when this issa will apply, where you can catch the animal in one swoop. However, the poskim say that if we're talking about seder drabonon, for example, any seder min drabonon, let's say it's a big area, or it's einu b'minin nitzit, means it's not a species that's normally trapped, then opening a door and closing it is not a problem. That means, for example, let's say you've got a new dog in your house. So it's only trained to come in, let's say, at night time. During the day, it'll run out. So according to what we said, you could have said, I can't go out my house in troubles. Because if I open my front door, so the dog could run out, and now when I close it, I've trapped it. I've got a problem. On that, the answer is that when it's only Saint David Rabbonon, which it is over here, because this animal will come back at night time, and it's a big area as well. Another reason why it's a listener of honor, because the dog's in a big area. Opening and closing that door is not awesome. It's a bit complicated, all the protein. But this issa of opening doors and closing doors where you trap the animal is only in the case of where the animal is trapped in such a way that it's now a seder min haTorah. That means you've got a bird, it's in a cage. If you open the cage, the bird can fly out. To close that cage, if you do that closing cage, it's not seder min haTorah. You now can find such an area. Rabbits, guinea pigs, all these hamsters, these
fish
things.
Fish can jump out.
Hopefully they won't jump out. That is already much better. So those cases over there where the animal's mum is trapped now min haTorah, you're doing a trap min haTorah, then there's an issue to close the trap door. If the animal is only a shadow of Rabbonon, then the Rabbonon won't go in this case. You're not interested in trapping an animal. You must realize when you open your front door to go out of the house, and then you close it again, you're not interested in trapping the animal. You're closing the door because that's a normal way of things. You don't want people to come into your house. You're not really intended to trap the animal here, so that is much to do.
If you are,
normally you've got both kavanas. No, it's also much better when you've got both kavanas. It's very rare the only kavana the dog shouldn't get out. You've got both kavanas,
no,
I said. And something you also do is stop your house. You don't want anyone coming to your house. So normally you've got two kavanas. That's really much better. All right, wait a second.